chopping the gap in his teeth. He worked the window, his name was Ducky. He came from the streets, the Robert Taylor home, Southside Project, Chirac, the Terror Dome. Drove to California with a woman on him and $500. They had a son hoping that he see college. Hustling on the side with a 9-to-5 to freak it. Cadillac severely ride his son around on weekends. Three-piece special with his name on his shirt pocket. Cross the street from the projects, Anthony planned to rob it. Stuck up the place before back in 84. That's when affiliation was really 8 years of war. So many relatives telling us, selling us, devilish work, scaling us. Crime, intelligent, felonious, prevalent proposition with nines. Ducky was well aware.
apologize for fading out this song, but I have to say the station ID. So this is The Dark Train, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. And welcome to my show. I'll quickly read you guys a PSA, so we'll also get over with that, and we won't be interrupting the show. So I'm just pulling it up. A little reminder, today's a Monday, so if you are interested in doing Tufts Meatless Mondays, today's the day, but of course feel free to have your own schedule. So as always, our PSA is Food Not Bombs. Food Not Bombs PSA. Food Not Bombs is a LoseNet group of independent collectives serving free vegan and vegetarian food to others. Food Not Bombs recovers and shares free vegan or vegetarian food with the public without restriction in over 1,000 cities around the world to protest war, poverty, and the destruction of the environment. Each group is independent and invites everyone to participate in making decisions for their local chapter using the consensus process. Food Not Bombs is dedicated to taking nonviolent direct action to change society so no one is forced to stand in the line to eat at a soup kitchen, expressing a commitment to the fact that food is a right and not a privilege. For more information on the web, visit foodnotbombs.net. This has been a public service message from Food Not Bombs, dedicated to creating a sustainable future for communities and the environment. So that was it. And they actually, I checked their Instagram and they have multiple Instagram pages. There's one that is global, there's one for Boston, there are a couple of others for other cities, so feel free to, I guess, reach out to them and follow what they're doing, because they're pulling out an amazing job. I don't know if that's a saying in English, but today we have a guest who is lovely, Asia Mijović, and I will activate her microphone. Okay, test.
Hi everyone, my name is Asia. It's a pleasure to be here today.
So Asia was my roommate in our first year. We were living in a dorm called Tilton. We were on the fourth floor. We shared the same problem of having to climb four floors to do laundry.
Oh my gosh, that was impossible. And then we were at the bottom of the hill. We had to climb up every day. And then also, yeah, no elevator. That was interesting.
It is.
Yeah, it was interesting.
We should more accessibility on the campus, I guess. Yeah. But I hope they're working on it.
Yeah, I hope so. That was not accessible at all. So yeah, what do we have planned for today, Amor?
So we are both combined degree students, for anybody who doesn't know what that is, we basically go to the School of Museum of Fine Arts together, and we do some art. An interesting way of putting it.
We do some art.
Yeah. And so can you tell me about which mediums do you work at?
I guess it kind of varies a lot. I am now doing a lot of film stuff, and I shot a film this summer. It was great.
What was it about?
It's about a tree species from my country, Montenegro, and basically it's being endangered because of climate change, and there's like no ways to protect it or like grow it artificially. So I spent the whole summer just hanging out with a lot of ecologists, a lot of people from like these villages where the trees grow. And it was a wonderful experience. It was my first time camping, and
oh, great.
I just think about that now as I'm like sequestered in my home in Central Square, and just I'm dreaming about camping again and being
Did you stay in a tent?
Yeah, we were in a tent. And basically these areas, there's no civilization. It's like just, and there's sometimes not even like a water source. So you have to like bring your own water, all of your food.
Mm-hmm.
And
so did you bring like lots of food with you and like tons of water, or were there places for you to restock?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. The first time we went, I didn't realize I had to bring my own food.
Oh no. That's
yeah, it
so you asked. Yeah, you're so sweet.
I know. I'm just like so clueless, and so that day it was horrible. I had just gotten into a fight with my girlfriend.
Oh, no.
I left the house at like 4 a.m. to go on this trip, and mm-hmm. like by the time we're reaching the top of the mountain, they're like, "Oh yeah, the food, blah blah blah." And I realize, oh my gosh, I don't even have like water, not let alone food. So we kind of shared what they had, mm-hmm. But I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to be greedy. So yeah. I just like rationed my food mm-hmm. a lot, and I was editing a video today, and it's like, it's a video of me at the top of the mountain, and you can just like hear my stomach being so loud.
I mean, I think it adds a like touch of reality in it,
yeah,
because
yeah, yeah,
it's not easy.
Absolutely.
So will we be able to view it online when you're done, or like what?
Yeah, so I'm not really sure what I will do with the distribution. I do think if it's like, if I'm happy with the result, I'll probably want to like submit it to certain festivals, mm-hmm. Film festivals, but maybe I'll do like a viewing at Tufts before that.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So what other things do you do?
Oh, other things. I paint a lot.
And I think we kind of have to mention how you painted last year, because to give you a little bit of background, we were living in a 10 people. Or
yeah, eight?
Eight. Okay, yeah. We were living in an 8-people suite. And one of our suite mates was absent for the fall semester. And then, like, her room was empty, so we were kind of using it interchangeably. But there was this time where we, like, for the first time, literally got out of the campus to visit Basquiat exhibition at the MFA. And then we learned that we were actually contact traced. And then we had to quarantine, and Asya had a roommate then, yeah. So she moved to Noor's room, and Noor is the person who was absent for the first semester. And tell us how you were able to continue making art.
Yeah, it was kind of surreal. I brought all of my art supplies from my studio, which was at Barnum at the time, and I put like these giant pieces of paper all over the walls. And I just started painting, and mm-hmm. I have like two or three like huge paintings that are from that period, and there was like nothing else I could do,
yeah.
So I just would paint all day.
But also by huge, she literally means huge, because it covers the whole wall, basically, like,
yeah.
Very, very big.
Yeah, it was crazy, and it was also weird, because like I would wake up and mm-hmm. look at my paintings, and I would think, oh my gosh, so this needs to change.
Yeah,
this needs to be.
It was also a very small room, and
yeah.
I think like what you did with the bed was lovely, because she literally like broke apart the frame, and she just had the mattress on the floor. And like in Turkey, I also have my mattress on the floor,
yeah.
But because it was a very small room, I felt maybe like you felt a little bit small, and
yeah, it was I felt like I was becoming the space that I was in
mm.
in a really strange way, because it was everything.
What a
was
trip
inside. Yeah, exactly. No,
yeah,
and I had that orange light.
Oh yeah,
and no sunlight. It was just like this fluorescent orange light that I placed inside.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I think like I really experienced a sort of a deep connection to these works that I was making at the time, because
mm-hmm.
that's all the energy that I would put into.
Yeah, it was literally like an extension of your, whatever you were feeling, or
yeah,
like whatever
exactly.
you were thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I did some linoleum cut prints in that room. And we also hosted
yeah.
a painting event with the Turkish Students Association, and I was like trying to instruct people to draw a portrait, but I also don't know anything about figure drawing. I just draw grotesque, distorted figures. So I was like, okay. I kind of like taught them how to start a painting, but also not many people were using oil paints. So there was some acrylic, some charcoal.
Yeah,
but
and
it turned out
that,
well.
Did that in the
Noor's room.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Noor, thank you so much for providing us with the opportunity.
Yeah.
But Interesting yeah. times.
Yeah, I remember all of your prints just drying on the on the table.
And some were hung up on our kitchen.
Yeah.
It was so funny because we were like, so I was a vegan then, now I'm like a part-time vegan and full-time vegetarian. I'm just like trying to balance everything out. And it was hard for me to get the correct nutrients because I guess Tufts food was not that diverse at the time. But it was so funny because like we had three vegetarians, I was a vegan, so we were like four, and Nora was absent, so we actually had three non like meat eating people, and we were like the majority, and we had this big poster that labeled every part of like a livestock in our kitchen, and we would just eat food gazing at, oh, like this part of the cow is called that and this part of a pig is called that. Yeah, it was so funny.
It's like, you know, learning about the things that you would never know.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like, it was very alien.
Exactly. It's what a liberal arts college is, you guys. Yeah. You literally learn the things you...
you wouldn't know otherwise, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, let's listen to another song and we will continue the discussion. So I should also tell you that the first song we listened to was Holy Diver by Dio. And now we have Bad Penny by Rory Gallagher, I guess, but you should be seeing that displayed once I log it after I start playing it.
I'm
So this was, as I said, Bad Penny. And next up we have Kill the Pain by Accept. And I hope you like it.
Thank you.
So we will now try to talk about something. I know you all enjoyed the song. So we listened to Bad Penny by Rory Gallagher. You made me say it again. But and then the previous song was Kill the Pain by Accept. And I recently listened to that one. And such good, like, instrumental solos and everything. Not sure if that was a solo, but I don't know. I just couldn't focus on anything else except for my own pleasure. So, did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. I was wondering, when did you start listening to rock music?
Oh, okay. So, shout out to my mom, who is also listening probably right now. But she was very, very much into rock. So, like, when I was a kid, we had a big radio set in our house, and she would wake up earlier than most of us, and then she would immediately, like, as the first thing that she would do it in the morning was to turn on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then we would listen to Radio XN, which is, like, the best radio program in Turkey. And Gülşah Güray is one of the DJs, and she's, like, the programming director, and I got to see her live DJing at a like burger place in Turkey. But so I am not sure exactly when, but I've always remembered that I would wake up to the song of the radio, and she would play like Gülşah Güray would play, or like any of the DJs in the station would mostly play metal or rock. And my mom, so as I grew up, she was like, oh, you should listen to Pink Floyd. They're my favorite band. And she would tell me stories about when she was like very upset and she needed something. She would usually listen to Pink Floyd in her room. And she also told me about the time. So there would be music magazines. Mm-hmm. And you, because you don't have internet, you didn't have access to the lyrics. And she didn't know English, or she knew it just a little bit. And she and her friends would get these magazines, hoping that the songs they like will have their, like, the lyrics of the songs they liked were published, so they could, like, sing along. And she would also, she told me that she would also try to decode the lyrics. And but yeah, like, I literally wish we weren't in this technological era and everything was more valuable. Like, waiting for the magazine to come up, hoping that the song you want to be, like, listed under the lyrics section. Yeah. And all. It's just so romantic.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think so much of my music consumption, like, for granted, like, I realized that, so I have thousands of songs, right, on my Spotify.
Yeah.
And I often don't even know who the artist is, or because I rely on this library that I've collected. And then I'm glad that we have such sort of a lot of, like, opportunities to experience, like, different types of music, and a lot of things are accessible, but it does sort of remove that attachment, or you need to care, like, you used to, you know, just take so much energy and effort into knowing these musical pieces, you know, and just, like, research about them. And it was, I feel like it was much more memorable and thorough. And yeah, I'm trying to establish that relationship with certain music works. But I do realize sort of, I'm fine being ignorant in some things, because I can, like, afford to do that because I have my online libraries.
No, of course, like, if it wasn't for Spotify, I would probably not listening to all these, like, Polish songs that now I'm, like, so much enjoying. But I guess because, as you said, we're not making conscious decisions, so we just overlook things, whereas if you, like, put in the effort yourself, then you would be remembering them better. And, like, even as a middle schooler or, like, a high schooler, I had access to some sort of things. And so, like, I never knew how the band members looked like. I just knew, like, the songs a little bit, and, like, and I also didn't even know who the artist was. I would just sing along with the lyrics. And it's, I guess, the power of music, because I was also taking a psychology of music class, and we were talking about how we had like certain expectancies, like we would know how a thing would resolve, but I also enjoy it when I'm like surprised and like how that would create the aesthetic, because sometimes meeting the expectations makes it good, but sometimes not. And also we talked about getting goosebumps, so there was this theory and it said maybe like when there's a big change, like if it was super slow and then something sharp and loud happens, then you get a goosebump because your very primitive system gets involved and it's like, oh, there might be something dangerous, but then your frontal lobe, where you, which is more about like thinking and planning, and it's probably like suppressing that primitive action system, and it's saying like you're in a safe environment and you know that the sound effect or like whatever sound you heard is coming from the music you're listening to, and then it converts that into something more pleasurable, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I do think, yeah, I remember to listening to a lot of, so my dad listens to a lot of opera,
mm-hmm.
and that's something, so your mom listens to rock, which mm-hmm. is really cool. My dad would always like listen to opera and like mm-hmm. still does and falls asleep to,
oh, yeah.
to different like arias and stuff. But I remember, I don't know, I just like connect opera to like getting goosebumps a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
No, like, totally. The high-pitched yeah, voices, the you're like... voices. But I also realize that sometimes I get goosebumps because I think if I were to do that in public, yeah. I would be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
So I am just embarrassed seeing somebody doing it, even though it's not yeah. me. And I mean, this is just my theory, but I think it might be also related to that. But...
I haven't thought about that. No.
But it's also interesting because, like, when I was a kid, kind of unrelated, but also related because you mentioned your father would sleep to operas. My parents would take me to like classical music concerts or operas, and then the moment they start playing, I would fall asleep. And the moment people start clapping, I'm like awake again. And like it is sometimes it can be super silent or and like calming, but some things are like, I don't know, filled with so much energy.
Yeah, I know.
Also, there was this one study, I'm not sure if I remember it correctly, but I'll just pretend I do. I hope I'm not giving you guys the wrong information, but there was this study that, I guess, measured heartbeats, and they made one group of participants listen to metal and the other group to classical music,
mm-hmm.
and the assumption was because like metal music is like loud and
mm-hmm.
angry, people's heart rates would go up, but no, it was higher for the classical music condition. But I also feel that because like when I'm listening to some angry music, I feel like the anger for the me just goes away, but classical music helps me build up energy inside me, and it's not like a
because that's the thing, I can only study while listening to classical music,
mm-hmm.
I think,
mm-hmm.
And that's like so good for concentration and really good to like just like have this energy to focus, and then definitely listening to, I don't know, rock, or I don't really listen to metal, but like listening mm-hmm. to like more expressive music, it is about letting go of things and like sort of losing focus and just like releasing energy in a different way entirely.
Mm-hmm. We should have a session where we listen to classical music.
Yeah, we should. Oh my God. We should listen to like, are you into Ethiopian jazz music?
Oh, I recently listened to something. Actually,
so
a friend
good.
Of mine sent that to me. Is he...
Ethiopiques,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, the best.
I will find what that song was. It was like already liked in my library, but mm-hmm. Okay, so let's listen to the Bard song by Blind Guardian, mm-hmm. and in the meantime, I'll pull that song up, and when we're talking, we'll discuss more about it.
Exactly.
How does that sound? All right. So, as I said, we'll be listening to the Bard song by Blind Guardian.
the bards and their songs. When hours have gone by, I close my eyes. In a world far away, we may meet again. But now hear my song about the dawn of the night. Let's sing the bard song. Tomorrow will take us away. There's only one song left in my mind. Tales of a brave man who lived far from here. Now the bard songs are over and it's time to leave. No one should ask you for the name of the one who tells the story. Tomorrow will take us away, far from home. No one will ever know what is. But the bard songs will
tomorrow
remain.
All will be known, and you're not alone. So don't be afraid in the dark and cold,
'cause the bard songs will
So this one is 29 Palms by Robert Plant.
back to you.
Oh, I'm back.
The song was 29 Palms by Robert Plant. And so we all, I found the song that I mentioned you, and it was Pygmy Love Song by Francis Bebe. And apparently they're from Cameroon and not Ethiopia, but we will definitely host a like jazz, classical music show, and then we will talk more about it. Right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to
it. Yeah, Alcia has a lot to teach me.
No, I'm excited.
So I talked about my early years where my mom would play rock. And then I went to high school, and my high school was composed of like a bunch of very diverse kids. And there I got more involved with Pink Floyd, and we would like watch movies of these bands, and then like Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, I don't know, Lamb of God, Amon Amarth, the Alceste or something like that. They were French. They came to Turkey, and like everybody was talking about them, so I started listening to them. They're not as hardcore. Alceste maybe. I'm not sure. Tenacious D, Dio, that's also like the first song I played for the today's show, was something I learned in high school. And I can play, so I want to play something from Tenacious D. Do you know them?
No, I am not well versed in rock music.
Okay, so this is more lyrical and narrative, and I think you'd enjoy it too, and I hope everybody else enjoys it. Okay, let's give it a shot.
This is the ballad of Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage. Nothing could stop him when Jables and Rage hit the stage. And Hollywood Jack hit the big time and went to make movies. Rage Cage was left far behind in the dust of his dreams. And he grumbled and growled and watched Hollywood Jack on Jay Leno. He bellowed and said he'd be nothing without help from Cage. He burned up the photos of Jables and Cage doing mushrooms. Fuck him, I don't need no Hollywood Jack anyway. Hollywood Jack lived up high on a hill in a bubble. And Rage Cage lived deep in the broiling valley below. Yes, the Rage Cage bubbled with rage. He looked at the ground and he looked on the stage. The lava was flowing and broiling inside the old cage. As Hollywood Jack climbed the ladder, starting before him, he watched as his indie credentials flew right out the door. He'd make millions and then he'd go out and he'd make even more millions. He'd screen cage his calls and snort coke off the ass of a whore. No one respected him, they just rejected him. No one would represent Cage. Left on the streets of his dreams, he would cry and he'd rage for the stage. Cage was in trouble. They sent Cage away cause he had gone completely insane. So Hollywood Jack jumped upon a jet plane and flew all that night through the rain to be with his friends and see what remained of his brain. Then Hollywood Jack told the doctors, you've got to retrieve him. You've got the technology, use the techniques of your trade. He grabbed their lapels and he screamed, by God, you must save him! Because Rage Cage and I, can't you see that we're one and the same?
I love the fade out of this song. The Ballad of Hollywood Jack and the Rage Cage and Cages with a K. And let me also put on your mic. So we decided that we could talk about movies.
Yeah.
And we are actually planning on going to Hiroshima, Mon Amour.
Yeah.
On Thursday at the Brattle Theater at the Harvard Square.
Yeah, I'm very excited. The Brattle Theater is a gorgeous theater in, as you said, in Cambridge and Harvard Square. It's still, like, you know, is shows independent art house films. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, it's a great privilege to be able to see some of those films. I actually saw one the last time I was there. I was... it was before the pandemic.
Yeah, I remember.
It was just before, and I saw this documentary that I still think about so much. It's called Streetwise. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so it's about these kids who are, I think a lot of them are homeless, but a lot of them are just basically living on the street, on the streets of Seattle,
mm-hmm.
in like the 80s and 70s, and it follows like all kinds of things happen, like, you know, some of them are engaged in prostitution.
Oh, I see.
There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of queer youth, mm-hmm. that is just...
How old are these kids?
They're in their early teens. So one of the main characters, Tiny, I forget how old she is. She's like, either 12 or 14. And she's basically like, you know, going with like all these men, and... it's like, it's quite devastating, but it's a wonderful documentary. I didn't know about this sort of history of Seattle and sort of all of this that was happening during the 80s, and it was very, very educational. There's actually another film about that same character that came out very recently, and it's following her life today, or a couple of years ago, and she has a lot of kids, and I haven't seen this other this new documentary, but I'm looking forward to seeing it sometime soon. But yeah, I would recommend, and the Brattle Theater is great.
Yeah, I mean, I've been only to the Somerville Theater, and it looks amazing, and I actually did one of my projects for my photography class in there,
right.
Because
yeah.
Even like the toilets, the tiles are so aesthetic, like the color palette is so coherent in every space.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen, so we were there for a movie, I don't remember which one, but
I think it was Once Upon a Time in
Hollywood. Oh, that was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I went to Jojo Rabbit and the down floor thing. And then I went to see The Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Mm.
I was supposed to go and see the new James Bond movie, but I might just end up seeing it in Turkey because it's just going to arrive super late.
Did you like The Portrait of the Lady on Fire?
I mean, yes, but I would prefer like a lesbian themed movie. I think my favorite is The Favorite by Yorgos Lanthimos. I mean, it was made to be your favorite.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's one of the favorite queer movies I've seen.
Yeah, well, of course, there's so many queer movies, but I thought The Portrait of a Lady on Fire, it's beautiful, but it lacked some. It was very. Like a stereotypically period time.
Yeah, that's what I like about The Favorite, because it has the stereotypical thing, but like Yorgos Lanthimos always makes you feel a little disturbed. And even though it didn't have that much of a disturbance when compared to his other films, I still liked it a lot.
Mm.
I wanted to play a song, but it's not on. Okay, I can still play it, I guess. But yeah, you should definitely check out Brattle Theater. As Asya said, they play like very nice movies that are not screened anywhere else. And if you're like in the mood for seeing something not on your computer screen, but in a real theater, that's the place to go.
Yeah, and support local businesses.
Yeah, I will be playing Lorelei by The Scorpions because they are together again, and they're going to release a new album in 2022, if I am not correct, but I should play at the ASAP. And also let me tell the station ID, because the next DJ is also here. So it was lovely to have you here, Asya, today. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So this is The Dark Train, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and the last song is Lorelei by Scorpions.
And there was a time when we sailed on together, one said a dream, that we shared on the way. And there was a place where we used to seek shelter. I never knew the pain of the price I would pay. You led me on with a cloak and a dagger, and I didn't know you had made other plans. You had me believe we were meant for forever. I really thought my heart would be safe in your hands. Lorelei, my ship has passed you by, and all Lorelei. And there was